Blind Geek Zone podcast number 21 for January 4th, 2008. Hey, this is Rick. Welcome back to another Blind Geek Zone podcast. And it's now 2008, so Happy New Year to everybody. Hope everybody had a great holiday, great Christmas, great New Year's, or whatever holiday that you may happen to celebrate this time of year. I know not everybody celebrates Christmas and or uses the Eastern, or not the Eastern, but the Western calendar. So I know the Chinese New Year is coming up. I think Russian Orthodox New Year or something's coming up. And I know some people celebrate Kwanzaa and many, many other holidays, but whatever you celebrated, I hope it was or will be a good one. Okay, I have a few things to talk about today. Not, not a whole lot, but do have a few things. First, I'm going to talk a little bit more about the Creative Zen Stone. I've had a chance to set and use it for a while now. When I did the review on December 13th, I had only had it for a day or two and hadn't had a whole lot of chance to use it a great deal. But I was out of town for a week during Christmas, and I had opportunities to use it quite a bit, so I have a few more things to say. And also, other people have sent me emails with comments and different pieces of information about it, so I'll pass those along too. Okay, first, I'm still very, very happy with the Zen Stone. It's been working very well. I still haven't gotten Audible to work on it, but I'm sure that's just something I'm doing wrong on my part. I haven't really tried a whole lot more. But I have been listening to a lot of music and a lot of podcasts. I was catching up on Leo Laporte's various podcasts on his Twit network, This Week in Technology. And so I listened to a lot of those while I was away, and I have been listening to a lot of those just while I'm at work and things like that. Excuse me. Throat's a little dry. Okay, a couple things that I have noticed about the Zen Stone, and then I'll pass along comments that others have given me. First, battery life has been a little shorter than I've expected. Maybe I'm not charging it long enough. I've been charging it 3 hours or so, and I've only been getting approximately 6 hours of battery life out of it, and that's a fair bit off from the 10 hours that other people have said, and what Creative says it should get. So I'm going to try and charge it longer and see what happens. Maybe I'm just not getting enough of a charge in it. And that's been consistent for me. Each charge has given me about 6 hours. In defense of maybe the battery, I've in certain cases had to turn it up pretty high in order to get good volume in areas. You're out in public, you're on a bus, you're on this or that, it can tend to need higher volume levels, to operate it, so you can hear it clearly. And I was using just earbuds with it. So, that could possibly have something to do with it. The computer at work I hook it up to and listen to podcasts while I'm working, I tend to have to run it pretty high because the line in on it's kind of, I guess not very sensitive. So it needs some additional oomph coming in. So that could be part of it, but just wanted to pass that along. Let's see, what else? One thing I did notice is, and I really haven't went through the documentation, so maybe this is just normal, but I notice when it gets to the end of a folder, it automatically just goes to the next folder and starts playing the contents of that folder. That may be normal. I'm not sure. Another thing I noticed is if it's in random mode, where you have the switch on the top slid to the right, I noticed it randomly plays things from all folders, not just the current folder you're in. So that was kind of annoying, since I have an Audible folder, a music folder, and a podcast folder. It was kind of, at the time I was just listening to music randomly, so it was kind of, going into the other folders where I didn't want it to. I guess that's normal behavior. Maybe a little bit annoying, I suppose, but, not bad. And the only other thing I've noticed that was kind of annoying is sometimes the ZenStone will forget where it was stopped. On several occasions, I have started the unit back up, and it has started playing at a different point, say in a podcast, than where I left it. It might have been the last place I had stopped it. Or sometimes it'll play from the beginning of that podcast. And I have noticed this a few times. I don't know, maybe half a dozen. But, excuse me. excuse me. Not sure what that's all about, but just wanted to pass that along too. Okay, I've gotten several emails from people after I put the podcast up. A few things that I didn't mention that I will mention. People are asking the price. It's under $40. I think on Newegg, which is www.newegg.com, I think I paid $35 plus shipping for it. Most places, I don't believe it's any more than $39. That's US currency. Not sure about other places, other countries, other monetary denominations, but that's what it's running here in the States currently. Somebody also sent me an email saying that there are scripts and a program you can download for it. The only thing I really could see that the program did for you was it would tell you your battery status. And I don't know, for the most part, I don't see it worth putting a program on just for the battery status, because otherwise you don't need any help whatsoever, getting stuff on and off the Zen Stone. So I'll excuse me, I'll put those notes up on the on a blog entry here in the next couple of days, and I'll try and put all these links to things I'm talking about there for this podcast. Another thing that somebody had told me I've heard twice now, and this is very, very interesting if we could find them. Somebody said apparently Dell is having Creative produce 2 gig units of the screenless version. This is not the ZenStone Plus. This is a ZenStone with 2 gigs of memory with no screens or menus or anything. So it's the same thing that you may be used to on the 1 gig model, but with 2 gig, and that may make some people happy. I noticed a lot of people were upset and wouldn't buy it because it only had a gig. I believe the price was like $59. Somebody else said the same thing over in the UK. There was a 2 gig version that was screenless, no menus, not the ZenStone Plus 2 gig, but an actual ZenStone again with 2 gigs. So apparently these beasts are out there somewhere, and so just wanted to let you know about that as well. But after a couple of weeks of using the ZenStone, I've been very, very happy with it. It's had a few quirks, but other than that, it's a very nice little player. It's very, very small, has very good sound quality. I had it hooked up to a JBL Onture portable speaker, And the only thing I noticed there is that the output of the Zen Stone may be a little bit high on the treble side, just a bit. Nothing, no big deal, but I noticed it had higher end frequency response, it seemed like to me there, but again, no big deal. But after a couple of weeks of using it, I definitely give it a thumbs up. I'm very pleased with the unit overall. Okay. Next, wanted to talk about Microsoft and some of the offerings that have come out this last month. Microsoft has produced three different betas. I think, well, at least two of those are betas. I'm not sure about the third. But in December, the Office 2007 Service Pack 1 came out. I can't remember whether or not that's a beta or an official release or not. I think it's an official release. And don't know much about that since I'm not using Office 2007 here. They also came out with Vista Service Pack 1, Release Candidate 1. This is not an official release, but it is being released to the public early for trials, so they can get more people to use it before it's officially released sometime in the first half of this year. I've downloaded it, I've installed it on my machine. Haven't noticed any huge differences, but nonetheless, I am working with that now. And if anybody is interested, you can get that up at the Microsoft site. I don't have a link right now. I'll try and find some links to those, if anybody is interested. Also, XP Service Pack 3, Release Candidate 1, also has come out. And that's the long-awaited service pack for Windows XP. Basically, it contains all the updates that have come out since Service Pack 2, and there are just absolutely tons and tons and tons of those. I've heard there are a few things being ported back from Vista over to it, such as being able to run IE7 in protected mode like it is run in Vista. Some networking enhancements, I guess, to make XP compatible with the release of Server 2008, which is supposed to come out the first half of this year. And other than that, that's about all I've heard. Mainly it's just a patch update, for all the patches that have been put out, since Service Pack 2 back in 2004. So then again, that will be released officially in the first half of 08 as well. Okay. One other thing that I had heard today on the Blind Geek Zone mailing list that I wanted to talk about briefly. Not exactly sure what's going on here, so I'm not going to say a whole lot about it, but a couple people were talking about Freedom Scientific has started charging people sales tax for their purchases, SMAs, things like that. And I'm not sure what's going on there. Whether Freedom Scientific, is legally allowed to do this or not, I'm not sure. I'm not an expert on sales taxes, but some people have been complaining that they're starting to charge sales tax even to places that they're not supposed to. Like, the one person was in Texas and they said there is no taxes in Texas, so I don't know what's going on there. And another person said that a lot of states have tax exemptions for assistive technology stuff. And so I don't know what's going on there, but just wanted to pass it along. And if anybody else has had this situation and would like to send me an email or whatever, let me know. I'd be interested in hearing, what's going on. But if Freedom Scientific shouldn't be charging a sales tax, hopefully they'll rectify that situation and, stop doing that. I haven't bought anything in a year from them, so I really don't know. But Just wanted to pass that along. Okay, next is wanted to talk just briefly about some new purchases that I've made, some things I'm going to be demoing. The biggest of these is I just purchased a Victor Stream from Humanware, and that should be here today, actually. So, looking forward to getting that opened up and checking it out. I will be doing several podcast demonstrations, whatever you want to call them, tutorials on the unit. I will start out with just what the unit looks like, what the buttons do, just the first looks out of the box, what you got to do to charge it, how you update the firmware to the latest version, things like that. Then I will go from there. Then I'll talk about Audible, getting the Audible books to read on it. And I'm signing up for NLS down at the Blind Center. I'm gonna fill out my applications for the talking book stuff from the library, and then I will be able, once I get that done, to sign up for the NLS online to download books to the stream. I'll be talking about that. I'll be showing how that's done. And hopefully I'll be able to produce quite a few different recordings on the stream. I know other people have done this already. Neil Ewers over on Blind Cool Tech has produced an excellent starter, which I did listen to the other day as I had decided to get the stream, so I wanted to listen to that. Jeff Bishop has produced a multi-part series, which I haven't listened to on the stream as well. Mary Emerson over on Blind Cool Tech several months ago produced a couple different podcasts on it as well. So there are a few things out there, but I would like to produce some podcasts, tutorials, whatever you want to call them, for the unit as well. So far, my first impressions from different things that I've heard about the Victor Stream has made me very excited. I'm really looking forward to, using it. I have a book port that I've been using for nearly 2 years now, and I've really enjoyed it, but the book port currently is no longer being sold. Plans for its update are sketchy at this point. Nobody seems to know whether a new one's going to come out. The best I can tell is one is not going to come out at least anytime this year. So, I made the decision to go with the stream. I definitely like how the stream sounds. I like everything I've heard about it. I like the NLS capability. I love the fact that you can speed it up, slow it down on the fly. And I've heard that, and it sounds excellent. There's no artifacts or distortions or anything. It does an excellent job at doing that. And overall, I just think it's going to be great, to have updated technology, for my book reader. I've enjoyed the book port. I won't knock it. The only complaint that I've had about the book port is it's a little buggy sometimes. I've had a few lockups on it. The biggest complaint I have about the book port, well, the two biggest complaints I have about the book port is one, its recording method just totally is lousy. You can't get a good recording on it regardless of what you try. And the Victor Stream, from what I've heard, has a good recording capability on it, and also has an external microphone capability too, so that'll be interesting to play with there. And I guess anymore, my biggest complaint about the book port is the keys, the buttons on it. I treat my book port very, very gently. I don't have it in pockets. I don't take it too many places. It's basically used here in the house. And I've noticed, especially over the last 6 months, the buttons are becoming really, really picky. I have to press on them harder. And the buttons just feel cheap on the book port, in ways. And so That's a concern, and that's another reason why I've decided to upgrade, because I don't want to get to the point where I have to send the book port in for repairs. I might have to anyways, but in that case, I want something else, to be able to listen to, while my book port's out. So, just wanted to talk about that briefly. Hopefully, very soon I'll have some recordings on that. And, we'll get started on that series. I plan to do more Vista tutorials this year. Using JAWS 9 and, updated Service Pack 1 and everything on Vista and, get some new stuff out there. All my recordings are from JAWS 8 beta mostly. And, there may be some differences. They're still a great source of material, but I do want to update some things. So, not sure what else besides that at the moment as to what will, I'll be doing throughout the year, but I'm sure I'll figure things out as the year goes by. And, I hope to continue to keep producing, podcasts that everybody likes. I've been really, really happy with all the comments that everybody sends me via email saying how much the podcasts, tutorials and stuff have helped them out, taught them new things. And, that's my primary goal of the website is to teach people new things. So, in that regard, the site has been a complete success. And I hope to continue that here in 2008. Thank everybody for continued audio contributions, especially Joseph Lee. He has contributed greatly to the website, and I appreciate that a lot. I hope maybe some other people will step forward in 2008 and give me some tutorials, podcasts, to put up on the site. I would especially be interested if anybody is interested in doing so. I'd like some demonstrations of the Mac using Leopard. Day-to-day use, different programs, just a real good look at it, so people can, kind of make up their minds what they think about that. So, if anybody is interested in doing a series on the Mac and Leopard, I would, be very, very interested in having that and would be very interested in posting that up to the site. Okay, well, lastly, I would like to thank everyone again for continued donations to the website. In December, I had a very, very large donation. I had a $250 donation to the website, and I appreciate that greatly. That allowed me to get the Victor stream, in order to do podcasts on that. So, that is very, very much appreciated. And I'd like to thank everybody else that through the year has donated to the website. All your donations have helped greatly, either to get products to demonstrate for the website, or just simply to pay the monthly, costs of running the website. So, appreciate that very much. And anybody who would like to contribute to the site, if you like the site, if you like the tutorials, if they've helped you out, a donation is not necessary, but it is greatly appreciated. All right, that wraps up this podcast. I didn't have a whole lot to talk about this time. Hopefully, next time I'll have more. But thanks for listening, and I'll talk to you next time. Here's my contact information. My website is the Blind Geek Zone. The address is www.blind-geek-zone.net. My Skype ID is rharmon928. That's RHARMON928. My MSN contact information is rharmon928@hotmail.com. My email address is rharmon, that's rharmon, at blind-geek-zone.net. If you have any questions or comments on any of the audio recordings I've done, any of the podcasts, tutorials, or demos, please feel free to contact me. If you're in need of training or technical support or website development assistance, please feel free to contact me. If you have any other comments or suggestions, please feel free to contact me.